You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast, and welcome to another week of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for 2019 and beyond for sportingnews.com, and we've got a lot of stuff there looking at the 2019 NFL Draft, the fallout of that, and now we have kind of the complete offseason in the books for the most part. Here in terms of personnel changes for all these teams, not just guys staying put, but guys leaving, rookies coming into the mix, a lot of changes, we know big ones throughout the league here in the past few months. So now we have a clearer picture of how we can start to look at how we want to stack the board here for August in our fantasy football draft. So you want to start in May to see where things are going, the trends, what the industry is thinking about each player, and that's why we like to use the consensus rankings there on Fantasy Pros. It kind of takes in all the major sites, some of the smaller sites, the effective sites in terms of how they rank players across positions, and that's what we're going to look at this week with our four shows, looking at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, and see how things kind of shape up at those positions at this stage here in the offseason. When you know kind of how the supporting cast and things are trending, how we look at it, do we agree, disagree, think things are right on point overall, we'll do that right now on today's show. So let's start looking at the quarterbacks. As you might have guessed, the number one still is Patrick Mahomes on the board. I don't think this one is going to change. Although there are some things to note, and we talked about this a little bit in the draft, Tyreek Hill's situation uncertain. They drafted Mecole Hardman, who people are jumping on early so far. We did the rookie rankings last week, and he was pretty high because there's just a feeling that Hill is going to turn his indefinite suspension into being released outright from the Chiefs. Hardman directly is going to get the keys to Patrick Mahomes, the throwing arm there downfield. So you look at it, some changes. We have Chris Conley out of the mix, Demetrius Harris out of the mix. You got Hill uncertain there. You got Sammy Watkins elevated as your number one. We know Travis Kelce's still there. We know Damian Williams was a pretty adequate replacement and maybe improvement in some cases for Kareem Hunt coming out of the backfield and catching passes. So if you look at it last year and you would say there's not much here, I think you look at Hill and Kelce and the rest of the receivers kind of by committee, and you'd see Patrick Mahomes still got the job done throwing a bunch of different guys. So I think in that sense, you can't really downgrade Mahomes too much. It's hard to expect to push for that same kind of elite season we've only seen a few times before where a quarterback carries your whole fantasy squad and someone you probably took as a borderline QB1 or mid-range QB2 there in your draft. So Patrick Mahomes is still high up there. It's a team that still is going to throw the ball a lot. Mahomes is a magician. We know that. He's going to find ways to produce here with his arm and his legs occasionally when he needs to. But Mahomes at number one still makes a lot of sense here as we look at the early QB consensus fantasy football rankings. At number two, Andrew Luck was a big-time scorer as well. And with Andrew Luck, same thing. Spread the ball around, got guys to complete drives. This year he has Devin Funchess, another big catch radius target, to join Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. They also went out and got a receiver in the draft there to help with Paris Campbell there, the speedster from Ohio State. So he had someone on the outside. They moved on from Ryan Grant there. Dontrell Inman was just to fill in kind of with Grant injured a lot. So you look at this pecking order now. We'll have to see how it sorts out a wide receiver. T.Y. Hilton is still the number one, but Funchess in there. You've got Paris Campbell, Chester Rogers in the slot. So a lot of things to look at there. But overall, when you look at for Andrew Luck and the potential of the backs catching passes there for the Colts. They did add Spencer Ware as a back as well. So when you look at Spencer Ware and you got a lot of the other retaining backs with Marlon Mack, you have Jordan Wilkins and Naeem Hines, plenty of weapons for Andrew Luck, and he has a good case to maybe outproduce Mahomes. But for now, he's the second. He's in the same tier, according to the experts right now across the industry, that same tier. We're in tier one, and Andrew Luck a close second to Patrick Mahomes. Now, this is the guy that I would look at claiming the top spot. I've mentioned this a few times, that Aaron Rodgers is well-positioned to have a big rebound season here for the Packers. It's not like he dropped off too much last year, but you look at the receiving core now with the Davante Adams. I think those young receivers they got in last year's draft are going to step up. They have Jay Sternberger. You have Matt LaFleur, a very quarterback-friendly coordinator, really an offense-friendly coordinator and coach to have, and a little bit more innovative than Mike McCarthy on that side of the ball. So you'll see him spread the ball around, use the tight ends, Jimmy Graham and Sternberger a little bit, get the wide receivers they can mix the ball around to as well. So Davante Adams being a pretty good number one to have. And when you look at Aaron Jones, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield as well. Jamal Williams is underrated in that capacity. So overall, Rodgers has loaded with weapons. The team, I think, can take back the NFC North this year and play a lot better. And LaFleur, I think, is going to get the best out of Rodgers here, a good changeup there. So in terms of production, Rodgers can challenge. I think he's going to be in the conversation with Luck and Mahomes to take that number one overall scoring spot this year. I think this is a good set of rankings right there with Mahomes, Luck, and Rodgers. I know a lot of it in these type of rankings are tied to what happened last year, and you start with that as a good baseline, but you got to consider the upside and changes and the way a team is going in a certain direction. And you'd say it's more status quo for Patrick Mahomes, the same offense in place there. Andrew Luck, familiarity should be smoother in that offense that he's used to now with Frank Reich. So there's some status quo there where Rodgers has that uptick coming with Matt LaFleur taking over and these younger receivers starting to play better. And don't forget Geronimo Allison being a healthier number two there that they really like, competing with those young receivers, maybe spread the field with those guys. One guy works a slot to replace Randall Cobb, but Allison could line up next to Adams most here, and the use of the tight ends, all that adds up well for Rodgers. Now, the number four quarterback here to complete the first tier, which is quite interesting. I think there's a lot of candidates here that you could put, but I think this is a good choice here. Deshaun Watson of the Texans at number four at quarterback now, a high-end QB1 completing that first tier. So Deshaun Watson, everyone's tried to knock him down, but the production is just simply there. He got sacked a ton of times. They upgraded the offensive line a little bit. Still not the easiest running team pure with Lamar Miller and Dante Foreman. Still a lot of question marks there and how they're going to move the ball there. But receiving core, it helps that now Will Fuller, hopefully he'll stay healthy. Kiki Kuti was healthy or unhealthy with a hamstring for much of the year. He's got a little bit more help at tight end. They're a little deeper. I think they'll use that position a little bit better this year. So all kinds of things to look at there, plus Watson's running. DeAndre Hopkins, we know the production is going to be high there. So Hopkins, Fuller, and QT, if they can keep those guys intact as the receiving trio, get a little bit more from their tight ends, maybe a little bit more from the backs, you're looking pretty good for Watson when you also throw in his running ability and scrambling, and still that's not going to be totally taken away from him because it's a big element of what he does here for the Texans. So I would expect that not to go away too much. They probably want to limit it a little bit, but in essence, not being sacked as much also sets him up for where he can be a little bit more comfortable in the pocket, use those receivers, and get some production that way as well. So it's a balance there. He's not going to run around like crazy, but he might have picked his spots, get less banged up, and that is going to help his production overall. So Deshaun Watson, definitely a special player. You look at this class, Mahomes and Watson taking them that same draft class 3 years ago, they're starting to reach their peak as elite QBs, and that's going to be a good battle to see who's the AFC's best young gun there between Mahomes and Watson. Luck a little older in that vein, but it's interesting how they rank these two guys so close together, Mahomes number one and Watson number four in the same tier. Now, certainly, I think any four of these guys would not surprise me if they ended up as the top scorer in fantasy football among quarterbacks here in 2019. So we broke down the first tier. We'll break down the rest there and get into QB2s as well. But let's take a little bit break to talk about sex. That's right. Sex, good sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. It's BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And now, this is for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom, and that's big for all of us. We want to be our best all the time, but especially in the bedroom. And with Blue Chew, it's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And Blue Chew, they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football, there's a special offer for you. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. We'll be right back here with a look at the next tier of quarterbacks in the fantasy football early consensus rankings for 2019. All right, let's pick up now with the second tier. And this has got a lot of intrigue here because one of these guys could definitely shoot up into that top tier. And this is why we see a lot of good quarterback values and why this is kind of the sweet spot, like you found Patrick Mahomes, to have someone who really overproduces their reasonable draft choice. So if you don't want to go the first route with the one, two, or three, or four picks, that was Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, and Deshaun Watson. Well, the next guy that's on this list is Baker Mayfield, and we know Mayfield came on strong there at the end to really produce, get in that borderline QB1 conversation. Well, this is an aggressive ranking overall by the industry. There is a lot of buzz with the Browns, and we know there's some big changes there. The one change that isn't there is Freddie Kitchens. He's still the offensive-minded head coach there, so Mayfield, no transition there in the passing game. And that's good news here for Mayfield, and we know the big thing that happened was Odell Beckham Jr. And you know the instant production he gives you. He's got a great baseline when he's healthy of 1,500 yards, 12 TDs in that range. So that already boosts it with Jarvis Landry. That's going to help Landry's production. David Njoku be also a factor here at tight end for Freddie Kitchens a little bit more. You got other receivers as well. Rashard Higgins is back, Antonio Callaway. So you've got a lot of weapons there. I think even if they part ways with Duke Johnson, find a way to do that, Nick Chubb can help as a receiver a little bit there in that capacity. But plenty of weapons to go around for Mayfield. The talent is there. So it, would it be shocking if Mayfield had a Mahomes-like meteoric second-year rise? No, it would not. But I think still, however it is, if you're a little bit cooling on him, a little bit higher on him, it kind of lands into this tier two zone, which, by the way, comprised of five quarterbacks, according to the consensus expert look at this moment. The next one, you look at Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson, we might scale back a little bit. I know he's such a big part of his team's offense, even with the run-heavy system. They're earning the touchdowns. But why we want to watch the situation, if Doug Baldwin's out of the mix, that's obviously a key familiar receiver. Doug Baldwin, his presence, that tough guy that can work the slot, help Tyler Lockett a little bit. Now, Tyler Lockett may have a little bit more pressure as being the number one, and they would have to get DK Metcalf, the rookie that they stole in the draft, would have to step into a bigger role right away, as well as David Moore. So then you start examining that. Can they get Will Disley and some tight end help in the game? So Wilson, I'm going to kind of disagree with this one. I think Mayfield's upside puts him at five. Well, Wilson has a decent baseline, but I think there's some guys after him that we'll talk about that makes you not want to necessarily reach for Wilson this early in the number six, I don't know if he's going to match that production. And that's what I'm looking at. How good do I feel about the quarterback matching where he's ranked in the tier he's in? And Wilson, I'm a little bit lukewarm, not because he's not a special quarterback, but just other guys may be in position to produce a little bit better. That includes the next guy I'll talk about is Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees is number seven here. I know people are concerned that Drew Brees is getting a little older, but I think to me the selling point is Jared Cook. When you get Jared Cook and then you go out and really look at the way your receiving core is structured, it's pretty good. You're going to get more from probably Tre'Quan Smith and Keith Kirkwood, who were pretty nice pickups there as younger receivers. Ted Ginn's on the mix from the get-go. Cameron Meredith could do a little bit more, so you look at that situation. Now Josh Hill slides into a more comfortable number two. They like Dan Arnold. They drafted also Elise Mack at tight end as well. And Latavius Murray gives you that bridge from Mark Ingram behind Alvin Kamara. So weapons are not an issue. This offense could totally kick it up a notch with Jared Cook giving them an element they didn't have, and we know Jared Cook had a big season there. So you're looking at more yards and good touchdown potential there. They upgraded at center with Eric McCoy, younger from the retiring Max Unger. So a little bit more youth and agility there in a very good offensive line. So everything sets up for Brees. But I feel good about Brees having a shot at cracking that top tier, and definitely feel better about him right now because I know a lot more things are in his favor than Wilson to have that big year. Now, Matt Ryan also finished very strong last year to creep up into that top tier because the numbers were just big. They had to throw a lot with this team. The defense struggled. The running game wasn't the same without Devonta Freeman, a lot of Tevin Coleman and slashing and throwing. Well, Coleman is gone. Still Freeman and Ito Smith here, but the weapons really line up here for Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley had a big year, was a borderline wide receiver three while Jones lit it up, finally got in the end zone consistently later in the season as a wide receiver one. So you got wide receiver one, maybe wide receiver two elevation there in Ridley. You got some young receivers they added into the mix. You got Austin Hooper still at tight end. Freeman coming back is also going to help there because he's a better, I think, more consistent receiver there in some ways than Coleman. Coleman may be the more dynamic player, but Freeman coming back, I think the Falcons do want to run the ball. They're rebuilding their offensive line, especially at guard here. We saw that with their expenditures early in the draft with Chris Lindstrom of Boston College there and Caleb McGarry from Washington early to help rebuild that offensive line, getting a little younger there. But Ryan's got the weapons. He's in good shape. It's a higher upside offense. I think they found some light go on there in the second half of the season. I think that continues here for Matt Ryan. Now, number nine is kind of aggressive to me. Cam Newton, again, he says the shoulder is fine. That's the update we actually got just now this week, that he's on track to feel good. There's other news that his family is expanding. So he's got some other things to be concerned about and focus on, as well as rehabbing that shoulder. But I think overall this is aggressive, especially when you look at the receiving core there. Greg Olsen is still around but fading. Devin Funchess is gone. Relying a lot on DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield for his production. Will he run as much? Will they want to put him in harm's way? I know they upgraded their offensive line a bit with Greg Little, the tackle from Ole Miss. So all kinds of question marks with Cam Newton in terms of just purely producing. I think the key for them is being healthy and durable and helping them win some games and effective, complementing the running game well. And they're not so concerned about the numbers in terms of letting it up, but also his ability to stay healthy and help them win games. And so Newton might actually be a better reality quarterback this year than fantasy. We drop into the next tier, and we'll talk about some of this tier as it spills over into your QB1 ending, as we've only gone through nine guys. Jameis Winston, number 10. I really like the upside here. Remember what Carson Palmer did in Bruce Arians' offense early? I know Palmer was a veteran quarterback, picking up things. Winston has not always been as pushing it with his incredible football knowledge and ability to get things down the field as much. But now you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They can have a good effect on Godwin. I think they'll look at the receiving game out of the backfield as well. Maybe try to get guys involved there. They didn't really go after a back there, but you look at these receivers, you look at O.J. Howard, I think typically you don't have Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich use the tight end as much, but Howard is just a special target as well as Cameron Brait. So they'll find ways to use those two guys as well. So there are a lot of things to like because it's Winston, Arians. I think this is the offense that was really made for him. Consider Winston drew a lot of Ben Roethlisberger comparisons. Arians worked with Ben Roethlisberger early in his career, got some big numbers there. So Winston, things are lining up. It's really, do you trust Winston? And now it's easier to know that he's not going to get randomly benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick when he comes off big games. And we know that the TB Buccaneers QB, he was always a QB1. He just didn't know which one and if they would get pulled in a certain game. And Arians is going to take that to another level. So Winston might be a little underranked there at number 10. Jared Goff at number 11. I think he's going to put up a few more numbers this year as they scale back Todd Gurley a little bit. That's what they plan to do here. So he doesn't get worn down with coming off a knee. And you know the receivers are solid across the board with your three receivers. Wideouts, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp coming back healthy. That will bump up Goff's production as well as better use maybe of Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee at tight end. And maybe a little bit more receiving juice out of the backfield as well to keep Gurley from just getting pounded in between the tackles. So Goff, I think this is just about right when you weigh the value of the others. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, this is also a pretty kind of, we're not sure about. I think this one's a little aggressive at number 12, given he lost Antonio Brown. I get it. They went out and got some help receiver, Dante Moncrief. They got help in the draft as well. But Juju Smith-Schuster and not having Jesse James in there as well, a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster and Vance McDonald. You don't have that receiving presence as consistent. I know James Conner was over his head a little bit as a receiver last year, but overall, I think you look at Ben Roethlisberger, it's got to be a downgrade when you don't have Antonio Brown, one of the best receivers in the game, and you're trying to replace him with James Washington and Moncrief and others. It's just not going to work as well. And James, I know Vance McDonald's a higher upside receiver, but James had his moments, especially scoring touchdowns for Roethlisberger. So pretty aggressive ranking. Maybe didn't know exactly what to do with him. There, a lot of people had him ranked higher at 7, some people a little bit lower, but I think I would go lower with Roethlisberger and lower with Newton here in this back door of the tier. Now, we'll wrap up looking at the notable QB2s here in the rankings there, but first I got to tell you, you can listen to Locked On Fantasy Football and all the great shows on the Locked On Network on the go so easily there. We have our Himalaya platform, which is great to use, but make sure you're listening in the car. That's what we're built here for, your drive time, your shorter commutes. We've got you covered with inside analysis of your favorite sport, your favorite aspect of that sport, favorite team, reality or fantasy. Bite-sized nuggets here of analysis and key listening for you all throughout the off-season. And listen to your car. It makes your ride all that more enjoyable here. And it's never been easy to do with the Himalaya platform and smart speakers wherever you go. Easy to play our podcasts and, again, go from point A to point B and you'll be a lot better sports fan here with the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the QB2s of note here on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right. Let's close here looking at the guys outside looking in. And I think for this one, let's go up to number 22 here in the rankings because I can give you a rundown of who's after that. But this is what we're going to see. Carson Wentz at 13. Now, I'll just tell you if I think it could be higher or lower. Wentz could definitely be higher because you have DeSean Jackson in the mix, the two tight ends. You've got Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, maybe less there in the backfield. But the tight ends, the receiving core, still have Nelson Agholor, Alshon Jeffrey, added J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, a big receiver who can finish the red zone. So Wentz gets bumped up also because there's no shoulder looking or injury thing. If there's an injury, I guess the durability is the question, but there's no going to Nick Foles because now he's in Jacksonville. At number 14, you have Phillip Rivers. Now, Rivers, I think this is about right. It's always hard to gauge Rivers because the running game and Melvin Gordon and all that. But he'll get Hunter Henry back. That'll help some of the production he loses. Kind of what he was supposed to have with Henry last year with Antonio Gates leaving. He does lose the ability of Tyrell Williams to stretch the field. So a little bit of change there. So I think Rivers is about right at number 14. Now, Mitchell Trubisky relied a lot on his running at 15 with the Bears. I think it's about right for him. I think he's one of those guys that can flash a lot in certain games, but also fade. And that's why it's tough to ranking. But I think putting him as a QB2 is a safer play here. Dak Prescott, I think a guy could overshoot his value here, especially when you have Jason Witten returning there to help the tight end core. You got Michael Gallup probably stepping in a bigger role behind Amari Cooper. You got Randall Cobb in the slot, who I think can do a little bit more than what Cole Beasley did. So we'll look at all that. And Ezekiel Elliott and his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. Prescott looking more on a borderline QB1 here. Lamar Jackson is next. Now, Lamar Jackson could also see a big bump. We'll have to see how they incorporate the passing game more for him this year. But the running game is in good hands with the Mark Ingram and Justice Hill and Gus Edwards and the backs that they have now. Power backs mainly, but you'll see how can they fast incorporate Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin into be key targets for Jackson with Willie Snead. Are they going to open it up? That's going to be the question. Otherwise, we're going to stick more into QB2 level. Tom Brady is down here. This is a guy that we would watch as well now that they've drafted N'Keal Harry and added Matt LaCosse and Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end. They have a little bit more backfield help with Damian Harris as well. So is this a full-on running team? Are they going to open things up again with Harry as the first-round pick? All kinds of question marks, but I think people are more concerned with Brady. Maybe if you're looking at it, borderline QB1-2, I don't think too much higher than that. In general, the next guy is Jimmy Garoppolo. Pretty aggressive for him coming off injury, but we know the upside is there. We know that this receiving core looks pretty good with Dante Pettis, George Kittle, Marquise Goodwin, Debo Samuel, Jalen Hurd, and his bit of a hybrid role there. So a lot of things to look forward to for Garoppolo coming back, but again, an unknown quantity and harder to rank. Josh Allen, we know, did a lot with his legs last year to give him good fantasy value. They went out and got John Brown and Cole Beasley to add to Robert Foster and Zay Jones and Tyler Croft, a tight end. So the weapons have been upgraded all across the board. Allen can run around a little bit more. He's going to be a little bit more seasoned. So I like this kind of aggressive ranking in a guy that we're going to watch physically, maybe going into that Cam Newton space, because there's a lot of Newton in Josh Allen. We know that from the Panthers Northeast, if you will, with the Buffalo Bills. Number 21 is Kirk Cousins. And I think Kirk Cousins, can't really love Kirk Cousins until we see Irv Smith is factored in. They didn't really throw to Kyle Rudolph as much in his first year. So Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, just having them alone with Aldrick Robinson gone, it's tough to say that Cousins can do more, especially when he doesn't give you running ability the way that Jackson or Allen does. And number 22, we look at Sam Darnold. And you look at the weapons here, Robbie Anderson, Quincy Nunua, Chris Herndon, Le'Veon Bell, all things are trending upward for Sam Darnold to creep up and be a good value pick later. If you're going to go the streaming platoon route with your quarterbacks, Sam Darnold would be someone to look at the schedule and put into consideration. Notably, Kyler Murray comes next at 23, Matthew Stafford, 24, Derek Carr, kind of aggressive, but someone to watch with Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams in the mix at 25. Andy Dalton at 26, someone we're going to watch with Zach Taylor and having A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, their weapons. Marcus Mariota could get a bump as well with A.J. Brown and Adam Humphries in the mix in the receiving core along with the young tight ends. Nick Foles gone to run-heavy team, so his value is probably going down. And then it kind of devolves from there with guys we're not sure is going to start, like Josh Rosen versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, Joe Flacco versus Drew Locke, Eli Manning versus Daniel Jones, and Case Keenum versus Dwayne Haskins. So a lot of question marks there, and so that's where the cutoff comes in. But I think of those guys in the back end, Murray, Stafford, Carr, Dalton, Mariota, you look at Mariota because of the improved quarterbacks situation there with the weapons, and Derek Carr as well having Antonio Brown and that effect. But Stafford and Dalton I'm going to fade, and Kyler Murray, just by being a rookie, I know it could be exciting and he has a starting job, but this rookie that I think could go through some lumps, so I'm going away there. But Mariota and Carr are the ones I'm most interested here that really drop sharply off there in this bottom of the QB2s. So there you have it. There's your look at the early, semi-early, as May quarterback expert consensus rankings there. We'll go to the running backs tomorrow, so we'll have a lot more to talk about there in that show. Thanks for listening again to Lockdown Fantasy Football. Again, tomorrow we'll be back with a look at the current expert consensus running back rankings in fantasy football for 2019.